Thank you for downloading this podcast from policyreview.tv.
Well, without further ado, I think I'll start. So, firstly, welcome to this afternoon's session. You're clearly a very discerning group who've chosen the seminar that will have the greatest impact on what we're hoping to achieve in terms of retention, as opposed to the very sexy branding seminar, which is just about logos and brochures when all said and done. But I'm clearly very biased when I say that. So once again, thanks for coming along today. What we're talking about is improving student retention through smart card technology. Ben Rowe, earlier on today, talked about the importance of monitoring what's going on and using evidence to change how you interact and approach working with your students and keeping them in the college. And Ellen Leveson talked about the intelligent and creative use of technology. And this is, in many ways, is an extension of that. I guess you've all got a mobile phone, and most of you have smartphones. And the phones themselves are one of the pieces of kit, but what makes them great is the software that drives them. And in particular, what makes them great is the apps that people write for those phones. When the iPhone turned up, it was a superb piece of kit. But the people who wrote apps, tens of thousands of apps, that made it almost an essential piece of kit. The same is true of smart cards. Smart cards themselves are highly effective, intelligent bits of kit, but it's what you can do with them that really makes a difference. And the challenge that we face in this sector is using them to their full extent to achieve not just improved retention rates, but also better management of your staff and your resources, and dare I say, your pupils as well. But to really understand how to take smart cards on that journey and make them work effectively for your college, you need to have a guide. You need to have somebody who really understands how they work, has been working with them for the last 15 years. And luckily, we have that guide here today. So I'm very pleased to introduce Tony Walsh, MD of ID Extra, who is our smart card guide, our Sherpa Tensing. Mr. Walsh.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Paul. My name's Tony Walsh. Paul Cannell, you've just heard from. We also have my colleague Enzo Frangimori here, who's our operations and project manager. Ex-head of IT for Harrow College. Enzo is a great resource and will be available for questions at the end of the process. I'm especially pleased to introduce two people who successfully use our systems. Mike Ward from Sir George Monoks College and Ian Webber from Bromley College. I would like to say that a very, very few words about ID Extra before we move on. We specialise in delivering integrated smart ID card solutions to colleges, schools and local authorities, particularly FE colleges. Our ethos is one card for many applications, and we were formed on the 28th of March 2002, and we supply a number of systems which are fully integrated. And how time flies, tomorrow is our 10th anniversary. So happy birthday, us. Our products are fully integrated and scalable, building blocks that you can add to again and again as your requirements change. An ID Extra solution is always designed to enhance security for your staff, students and visitors, whilst providing 100% accurate management information. I believe that the best possible representation any company can give is to ask existing customers to share their experiences, warts and all. This is why I'm so grateful to Mike and Ian for being here. Mike Ward is the head of information services at Sir George Monoks College. And Mike's been a customer for 10 years. The college has a very well-established smart card system, controlling more than 100 doors and turnstiles, e-registration. Mike has been our loyal ally and beta tester for integration with the Compass Pro Solution MIS. With his help and the close cooperation of the Pro Solution team, we've managed to integrate our access control and e-registration products seamlessly with MIS. The college has a streamlined solution that gathers attendance data at non-timetabled enrichment and study periods, staff training and development meetings. My thanks to Mike for being here today to answer questions and to give some background to his smart card project. Ian Webber, Deputy Head of Information Systems at Bromley College. With Ian's help, we actually attained technical partner status with Capitas UniC. The college has been a customer for 9 years They have also a very well-established smart card system controlling more than 100 doors and turnstiles, full live e-registration using the card, integrated back to Unity. As a benefit of working with Ian at Bromley College, ID Extra has benefited from some great cooperation from Capita, which has led to other projects. And my thanks to Ian for being here to answer questions. Next, we look at our friends from Harrow College, Enzo's old haunt, his beloved ex-workplace. Enzo's an expert on smart card integration. He's seen it from the customer side, and now he's our implementation manager, really, our operations manager. Enzo has huge expertise in specifying and commissioning smart card solutions. Again, he'll be available at the end to take some questions. Okay, Paul, I'm going to hand back to you for a moment.
We have auditioned for Morecambe and Wise. They're going to remake the series, but I'm not sure we'll get the job in actual fact. What do you reckon? Right, many thanks indeed, Tony, for that. What we're going to discuss in this seminar is what's happening today, what's going to happen in the near future in the world of smart cars and near-field technology, and its role in student retention in providing accurate management information, which is particularly key. As you will know, there's been some major advances in smart car technology in recent times. Access control systems, cashless payment systems, web-based payment systems, and the use of NFC or contactless cards, near-field communications. This may seem like a futuristic world, but it's happening right now in Korea, it's happening right now in Japan, it's happening right now in Coventry, in actual fact. There's actually a trial taking place within the city itself where they're using it as an electronic payment system. I find it quite helpful from the colleges that are here to find out what you're using right now. I'm assuming that you guys are using ID card printers, is that right? So who provides the cards for you? Do you make them yourselves or do you buy them in? Right, so they're made externally. They're made internally. So you've got your access control system. Do you use the cards for print and copy of payments? Or web payments at all? PC logins?
Oh, PC logins.
Yeah. How about student voting? Do your students vote in student elections?
Not by that means.
Not by that means. And how about your vending machines? Is that all cash or is that... Right. So you're using it for different things. But there's, if you wanted to, more you could actually do with the cards. Well, across the country, cards are used for a wide range of things in different colleges in different ways, as our colleagues will talk about later on. But historically, these systems have grown organically. Your library system, your catering system, your e-registration system have grown separately. They don't always talk to each other. And you then have this huge cost and hassle of trying to get these systems to join together and extracting information that you can use. Because information is key, particularly when you're trying to manage student retention and indeed, to an extent, student recruitment. So, given that we've now entered the information age, it's probably very helpful if I ask Tony to talk about what has happened and what's going to happen and how the smart card can revolutionise what you're doing, save your money, keep your students and keep your students engaged. Tony.
Thanks, Paul. Let's remind ourselves we are in what's called the information age. Card technology has come a long way in the last 20 years. We've had magnetic stripe cards, barcode cards for a long time, and these technologies are still with us, particularly barcode technology. But the manual card laminating systems have now mostly been outmoded by fast, high-quality modern card printers. Smart chips have arrived in big numbers. Technology is truly marching on. But let's take a few moments and have a trip down memory lane and look at some previous systems that were with us not so long ago. Do you remember when? What we have here is the good old-fashioned paper register, and quite often, as well as a long, laborious task that many will remember, the data was then manually keyed into an Excel spreadsheet or another computer system. So there were two processes, and there was plenty of opportunity along the way for a lack of information or misinformation creeping in. And we will look back, it's probably a little bit premature, but we will look back in a couple of years' time and we'll see that these old mobile phones were so wrong. These handsets, these ones, won't be used for any Wave Pay or any other kind of sophisticated payments. They're just phones. Now, phones. Why should I mention mobile phones? What is happening to mobile phones? How will that affect your learner population? Do they like their phones? Could we call them the phone-centric generation? Now, the next slide shows some FE and HE customers' cards issuing a learner with an ID card tells them that they truly belong to the institution. They are a member and they have members' privileges. They have the right to enter the building, whereas other people may not. There's an immediate elevation of status, and possibly a little bit of pride creeps in, a sense of achievement, because joining may not be an option for some of their peers. The ID card reinforces that achievement. They are on the road to success. The smart ID card has huge marketing potential. It's an opportunity to show off your brand. These people are now members of your organisation and will carry your brand wherever they go with pride. It's important that the card looks good. It should look professionally designed and worthy of your organisation. It is important that it is a true smart card and carries entitlement, which is status. So what are the most popular and beneficial uses for smart cards in the FE sector? Card provisioning, card printing. Rapid printing of personalised ID cards with smart chip, magnetic stripe, barcode and photograph. Personal details, mission statements, branding, and the system is linked to MIS, HR or Active Directory. The smart card number, as we've just seen, if you want to just run that again, please, Enzo. The smart card number should be recorded. So there's three processes. There's looking up of the student. So that's a live link to MIS. Then there's taking of the picture and printing of the card. Now, as the card goes through the printer, the number is recorded. It's a smart chip number. And it's saved against that student's name. Once you have that data, who's got what card, you can then push that data out to all of your systems. So we always say card printing and recording of that card number is the crucial first step. Next, we look at electronic registration. Our product's called Event Marker Pro. This presentation talks in great detail about Event Marker because really, of all of our products, that's the one that would be most applicable to student retention. It's fast and simple to use. It has a great graphical user interface for the teacher or the lecturer, and it allows students to register themselves in each class. So it's not just a morning or an afternoon registration, it's every single class. And what's more, if the student goes to the right place at the right time, they'll be in the register. If the lecturer swipes his or her card, you'll find if it's the right time, right place, the register will open. There's no logging in, there's no searching, there's no browsing modules. The right register appears. So it cuts out all the hassle. This slide shows the actual time window for the lesson. It shows an early part where the student can turn up early for the lesson. That's a time limit that you can set. So 5 or 10 minutes before the lesson, even 15 minutes in some colleges, before the lesson starts, you can actually have that green area. The red outline shows the actual lesson. So for before the lesson and the early part of the lesson, the mark is present. Then there's the late, and beyond that, there's very late or absent, and it's up to the college whether they want to record that mark. Now, there's a dynamic display of attendance. So A register with photographs of all the students expected for a class is displayed on the screen, and they change from grade out to colour as they arrive and swipe in. It's really simple. They get used to it very, very quickly. Fast login for the teacher. There's no need to log in. There's no need to tap in usernames and passwords. They simply swipe their card on a very simple reader, and the register opens. There's no hassle, and there's nothing more to do. Silent operation, it records attendance data via student swipes, with absolutely no action required by the tutor. This means that latecomers need not disturb the lesson, and everything can run without interruption. So lessons can be devoted entirely to learning. Display of timetables. Staff can view both staff and students' timetables, even from within a live register. The tutor can see a student's previous attendance on a week-by-week basis and spots any kind of trends. This can be very helpful in a partial sense. If problems are identified early on, they can be dealt with much more efficiently. And don't forget, this is within the classroom. This is within taking a register. You can see previous weeks or previous days. So you know, it's right at the tutor's fingertips. Okay, this is the dynamic display of attendance. You can see some of the students are still grayed out. They haven't arrived yet, or in this case, they may not be expected. Those that have swiped in on time are shown with a green marker. The head count is shown in the top right-hand corner. So to get round the potential problem of those swiping each other in, you can see everybody's photograph. So people can't hide. If you look around the classroom and there's 10 people there but there's 14 swiped in, you can very quickly identify those that aren't there, even if you're covering for a lesson. It's very, very quick and easy. We cannot think of an easier way to do this. It's actually right there in front of you on the user interface. And you can actually, if we just click on, please, we can actually reverse a mark. So if somebody has swiped somebody else in, you can quickly just click on their photograph and select a different mark for them. Really quick, really easy to do. Okay, the benefits of our system are threefold. For teachers, it increases the teaching time and reduces the start of lesson administration. The teachers are able to check attendance and add comments as well as necessary. It empowers students to register themselves for lessons and takes the burden off the teacher. For students, they can register quickly with just one quick swipe per class. They take control of their own attendance and punctuality and increase the likelihood of bursary payments and therefore success. They can view daily timetables and outstanding assignments in certain situations at access points around the college. For the college as a whole, there is actually a very rapid return on investment due to the substantial saving of staff time and, importantly, retention of students who may have otherwise left because of the early intervention opportunity. High-quality management information is available to staff in the classroom and the staff room. Improved flow of bursary payments to students, creating student loyalty and reducing complaints. Simple and accurate data to reflect real-time attendance. A range of add-on software modules, such as enrollment ID card printing, to enhance college processes are available. And in summary, the system allows students to swipe their own ID card in a very low-cost, easy-to-use card reader, and it adds on to existing infrastructure in the classroom in most cases, and the teachers get used to the system very, very quickly. Now, our systems integrate with, as we've just heard, the Compass Pro solution, MIS, and with Capita's Unity, and with several others. Our expertise really is in helping colleges to integrate their systems, and we can write bespoke software to help that along. The EventMarker Pro solution can integrate with the door access solution. So in certain cases, you may wish to use the door access card reader as part of your registration system. For instance, in an IT lab where students can't get access, but they can queue outside, if the tutor's late, they could have all swiped in on the door reader. It won't open the door, but we can use that information for the register. Again, any friends swiping other friends in can be dealt with straight afterwards because the information's there, you know, to be seen easily on the screen by the teacher. We can integrate with Oyster Card and other travel cards systems. They're very similar technologies to what we would choose to use. And pretty much any type of smart card that a college would choose, we can work with. So as time goes on, cards become less attractive through being hacked or superseded. As that happens and you choose a new, more secure card, we obviously have to stay with you or, in our case, try and be ahead of the game so that things are ready. So the integration with other smart cards is there. Access control integration is pretty much what I've just covered. It's designed from the ground up to be flexible, so you can use access control transactions in your registration system in certain circumstances if you want to. There's a new range of access control readers out now, which are wireless. These are a significant advance over previous systems, such as used in hotels, where it's a very low-cost card reader, as you can see down the bottom, sort of middle of the screen there. But they don't connect with anything. They're standalone. They're programmed by card, and the card carries the information to the lock. The big step forward is across on the right there, where you see the wireless nodes there. The system is the same kind of price point as hotel doors, a third of the price of a solid maglock, but it does in fact now link back in real time to the control system. So you can block cards and you can see who's where. Cashless catering. This could be a presentation in itself. This could take an hour just talking about the cashless side. I won't do that to you. There are lots of benefits of cashless systems. On campus, the main benefit is that it's integrated. So if you've made your cards in the card printer and recorded the numbers and it's been pushed to access control, we can also push it to your cashless system. So there's no enrolling to do. Once people have had their card printed, they're ready for any systems you may wish to use in the college. The primary benefit of using cashless catering in a college is to retain students for lunchtime. So keeping them on campus and kind of competing with the high streets is a major battle for some particularly inner city colleges and universities. So there was a recent investment made by Aston University where they invested in cashless catering. They were losing students to the high streets. M&S and other retailers were offering baguettes for a pound at lunchtime. The students were going out, so they weren't staying in the university for lunch. By investing in the cashless catering, using the smart card, and with digital signage, so in real time, they could tell students what was on special offer that day, and they could do it because of, you know, looking at their stock and what they wanted to get rid of for sell-by dates. They could make promotions, advertise them in real time around the college, and students would take those offers up and come to the canteen. Their sales have gone up by a third, and they can manage that really closely. They can actually say, well, we've got these ingredients, we've got this we can make, let's make a special offer and let's sell it to the students. And the students are very, very open for that. So cashless catering is a way to keep students on campus and to up your revenues. And just really to add to the safeguarding thing, really, they're not in the high street, that they're actually on campus. Print and copy control, long established. There are two leading suppliers, P-Counter and Papercut. We integrate and we resell both of those products, and they integrate fully with our system. You can bomb through those because they're very similar. You know, they have strengths and weaknesses. This is a very complicated slide. This is the technical side to it. I won't dwell on it too much. But on the top level, you have the college systems, the blue databases, and network storage for images, a synchronization program we provide, and then in the middle layer, all those yellow databases are specific systems for individual reasons. So electronic registration, cashless system, paper cuts for the print and copy control, and the plan access control database. So those four bespoke systems do their own task, but they're all fed in real time via MIS or Active Directory. So As far as you're concerned, if a card is printed for a student, the data is pushed through to all of those systems behind the scenes. And at the bottom level, you see all the applications the student can use. Okay. Benefits to the learner of a smart card. It's preparation for professional life. Proof of identity and guarding that identity are essential skills. Ease of access to college facilities, obviously. Convenience of fast and easy payments using the card. Parents can top up the card and be assured it's used for food, not in the bar. So there's a bit of parental controls sort of that can creep in there as well. Management of and visibility of their own budgets, a good life skill to have. Responsibility for their own punctuality at college and at lessons. A strong sense of belonging, they're part of the college community. And personal security, they should have a feeling of being safe. To the staff, a reduction in administration tasks, particularly with a view to the e-registration, where students are now registering themselves in classes. Increase in useful teaching time. We've heard regular reports of approximately 5 minutes saved per lesson. A combination of less hassle and better management information from the system. Greater visibility of attendance and punctuality, greater transparency of and access to information. Staff can challenge for ID and see who is who and identify intruders. Benefits to the college as a whole. All smart card applications are driven from the college's core systems, MIS, Human Resources and Active Directory. Information flows from the centre to the peripherals. The peripheral systems are merely management tools. The proof of the pudding is in the improved retention rates and therefore the improved success rates. Below is detailed information supplied by SGM College. And as we can see from the introduction of the system, midway through 09-10, we've had an improvement in retention gradually, and a predicted retention this year, although the statistics are not final, obviously, is expected to be about a 5% improvement on prior to having the system monitoring attendance. The future, the learner's viewpoint. What do your customers expect? Do they expect you to have a smart card system? Do they expect to use their phone? Keeping up the Joneses, can you afford not to have a smart card system or a worse one than your neighbouring colleges? What the future holds? Open loop payments. That means the student can use their card in the high street. Why shouldn't they use it in your college? These open loop systems are coming in now in a big way. So it means it's not just a closed loop within the college. They top up the card and spend it within the college. They can actually expect to spend their card anywhere. NFC is near-field communications. That's basically Oyster Card or WavePay. M2M is machine-to-machine, so that's unattended transactions. So that's buying something through your mobile phone off a website without anyone else being there. You just key in your PIN number and it goes. Location tracking. I think it's West Cheshire College have had location tracking installed. And that tells them in real time who's where. As a dot on a screen, you can see everybody within 30 centimetres of where they are in the building. Fantastic, expensive, but it'll come down in price. In a fire alarm situation, can't be beaten. You can see where everybody is. The fire brigade could see in real time if there's anyone trapped. And there's lots of benefits from that, particularly disabled or immobile people. You can see exactly where they are. Card and mobile phone convergence. The picture shows an ID card, could be the college card, your phone card, T-Mobile in that case, and your bus pass or tube pass, all merging, all disappearing into the phone. That's actually what's happening. TfL are ready for phones. A lot of the world is. This lady's ready. I don't mean, is this in Ireland or Hungary? How far away is this? It's in euros. We're not quite sure where it is. So she's buying that product, or investigating the price, or pre-ordering it using her phone. And that's in a supermarket, and that's a real photograph. And here we have somebody positioning a contactless card in a holder purely so they don't break the transaction, so it stays within range the whole time of the transaction. Pop the card in, do the transaction on the phone. That's machine to machine. And here we have on the right, pay your fare by waving your phone at the pad. Actually, it's here. It's not quite with us, but it's in other countries now. In Japan, 40% of transactions are done that way. It's coming here. Would your college benefit from a review of current systems and future smart card opportunities? We would like to offer a free consultation to today's attendees, all 80 of you. For further information, please visit our stand outside. Any questions?
Let's go and join you at the...
All right.
In the circle. Sorry. Yes, you're now live on the global internet. Fame at last.
Marcia Hamilton from the College of Haringey, Enfield and North London. I wanted to ask, what happens if a student loses their ID card?
If a student loses their ID card, you simply reprint one, and as it prints, you wouldn't usually take a new photograph, so you use the existing photograph, reprint the card, and as it prints, the card number is read in the card printer, and it overwrites the previous one. So you don't need to block the old one, it's actually overwritten. But the value, any values associated with that card and any access rights are put onto the new one. So you simply change the card and it inherits all the rights.
And is it at a cost to the student or the college?
Local policy, really.
We charge £5 if they lose their card. They need a replacement card, £5.
And we also run a system so that if they if they just forget it for the day, we've got a we use a temporary card that we scan and we just print out a sticker to go over it, which it looks like their normal card, but it's just done on like one of those label printers, and that becomes their card for the day. And then when they come back the next day with their proper card, then we take the old one off them, rescan the original one, and then they're back using the original one. So throughout that day, their attendance is still being able to be recorded using their temporary card.
Have you? Go on, carry on.
You're now in charge, Marcia.
Staffing implications, because you mentioned about the fact that it's going to reduce the amount of times that staff use register learners. But my experience is it only takes about 5 minutes thereabouts on our current system, and I just wanted to know how did that work.
Well, these two guys can probably tell you a bit more, but generally, you'll have a mixture of staff who are very good at taking registers and those that maybe aren't so keen on it. I'll let Mike...
I think it's down to register accuracy rather than the time you're going to save in getting students to swipe their own registration for the class. If you've got accurate registers, so that you know immediately the student hasn't attended that class, your student... attendance monitors, your SAMS officers, can then literally several minutes after the start of the class can phone up the student, text them, phone up home, find out where they are. And the whole point, and you've seen our figures, that we've actually increased our retention rates. Installing swipe cards isn't going to be the answer. It's got to be that backup. But if you've got prompt and accurate information about where that student is, whether they're in the class or not, you can act on it quickly. And the students can see their attendance on their dashboard, so the students know that, obviously, they're looking after it or trying to be responsible for their own attendance. I think once the whole ethos of the college is on attendance and punctuality, you're less likely to lose them. If you don't know a student's not attending, then it's so easy for students to miss a few weeks, and then by that time... you've lost them. So it's keeping on top of it. So it's not just swipe cards. it's the whole staff, the teachers, the support staff that make that happen.
To follow on from that, we were already using an e-register system. We were using online registers, so it was presented as an application. They went to a website and they put in the registration. And some staff were very good at doing it in the lesson, lots of them didn't. They took another register and then updated it later, which was fine when they remembered to do it, although it's against funding policy, you're supposed to register the class in the lesson. But it meant that there was a lag between when the data was available for their tutors to be able to check on their attendance, and it meant that follow-up couldn't be done quickly. So when we implemented a swipe register system, it took that out of the teacher's hands. The students were swiping, the marks were there. So it was already done by 10 minutes into the lesson. We know exactly what the picture is, and it means that the staff didn't have to do it. And where the 5 minutes came from is that, oh, it takes too long to load the computer, it takes too long to log onto the register, and that kind of thing. So using the event marker system, depending on how you want to use it, you can actually swipe and get all the students to swipe before you've even logged onto the computer. It's already monitoring it at that point. And then it's down to when the staff member wants to then go into the program itself to check who's in the room, is who they said. But it's all down to how they want to do it. But the idea that we thought was that by giving that 5 minutes back to teaching, if you multiply that over the course, over the week, over the months, over the entire year, you end up with quite a lot more time to spend on the teaching itself.
My next question. It's to do with engagement. How are learners engaged apart from swiping in? I don't see the correlation.
Engage?
Yeah, because you said here it keeps them engaged. So how are they engaged when all they're doing is swiping in and that's the end of it?
Well, I mean,
there's no guarantee.
It's going on the premise that they're pleased with their card. So they're pleased to get into the college, they like the branding, they like the fact they've got a card, and maybe some of their friends and peers haven't got that card. So they've got some entitlement there. And then they've got control of their own attendance. So they're swiping themselves in. Rather than sitting there like they would have done in school and having their name called out and going like this, they're now grown up. They're swiping themselves in, and they're responsible for their own payments as well. So I think in FE, the card system is good for lessons for life. It's teaching them stuff. They will then, you know, they'll have to look after their own finances. They'll have to look after their own punctuality and, you know, be responsible for themselves as soon as they go on to work. So it's an early lesson in all of that, really.
And is it with the card? Does the card allow, if they go into the canteen and somebody, they've lost their card, somebody else has picked it up, will that bring up their photograph to say that's that person? Because if I've lost my card, somebody else can go and use it.
In the canteen, it would, at the till it would show your photograph for that reason, so that someone couldn't just pinch someone else's card,
You can also program it in the canteen so that if they have an allergy to a certain foodstuff and they're buying that foodstuff, it says, don't sell them peanuts or don't sell them product containing milk. So it helps adjudicate care for the student as well. And if you wanted to, you could find out what they're eating to monitor the healthy eating policy to move them away from chicken nuggets. That's more challenging, though, I suspect.
Could I, when you mentioned that, about engaging the student, obviously Tony's explained about that. We also use the event marker to record attendance at enrichment events that we hold in the college. We're a sixth form college, so it's being engaged in that activities outside of the classroom. We also use it for monitoring LRC usage and how time is spent there. We direct students for private study in certain areas, and we know how long they're spending there. So if they're not doing too well and they need to spend some more time on computers or we know exactly how long they've spent.
Okay.
Yeah. We also use it for staff CPD, to know that who has attended.
In terms of staff,
teachers.
So
teachers will
swipe in.
Staff
now.
Well, I don't know. It's just
little sister.
Yeah.
In our institution, they would argue that I suppose, with my little eye, I could see.
It's no different from a teacher signing in to say they've attended that session.
I can see the long argument.
You have to manage it carefully within the culture of your college. Yeah.
But generally, if they're required to go to a health and safety meeting once a term or something, there's just as much chance they'll be happy to
just do that.
But they might be happy just to do a quick swipe rather than signing in.
We also have a study class, which is that support for students who need additional support. And again, we record that. I suppose for our figures, the auditors will want to know of these students how many hours have been spent supporting them and whether it was worth the funding that we're claiming. So it all sort of ties in. And of course, the student knows, they've got a record of when they attended the class, the additional support or workshops and all this sort of thing.
So it's used to see the impact.
It is, yes. Okay. So sort of justification, evidence that auditors will want to see.
Emily Roach, Hubert College. We actually use the ProSolution Compass at the moment, but we have also ProMonitor because we have various things that we needed to add for our applications. And one of the things that I like the idea of the smart board is that when you register the students, is your staff who is on DDs are not having to ring up. Because what happens is when we take the register, we can go onto our ProMonitor or ePro Solution, click on absent for today. And then when we click onto the various areas, it comes up with the name, the personal tutor who is next to it. So we who is on DDs have to phone up. And we're finding that really, really time consuming. Really, we're taking away from our preparation and things. So I like the idea that it's instant. And are you able to make a comment or in the screen or whatever that this is the reason why? Because a lot of the students will come and say, oh, that person's going to be late or they're off today, because they all text each other or, send messages. So does that enable?
Yeah. Enzo?
Yeah. You can make a comment next to each student. Yes. But what we can also do is we can import the pre-marks. So if somebody's already phoned in to student services and said we're not going to be in today, then within the register they would come up with a blue mark underneath them. So the lecturer already knows that those students aren't coming in because the pre-mark can be called. Yeah. So someone's already phoned in, so you're not expecting that student anyway.
Okay. Well, that's good because that is a really bone of contention at the moment because there's a lot of staff who are unhappy and having to call maybe sometimes 15 or 20 students, depending on and maybe phone call messages, and it's just really time consuming. We don't mind doing it because we realise it works, and we've seen the statistics of the attendance and the retention. It has improved, but it's having an impact on time for management for my staff.
Yeah, we'll see from the as Ian was saying, at the end of the lesson, you will know within. By the time that lesson is finished, within a few minutes, you'll know who has attended on or who hasn't. And student services or MIS can run those reports. You'll know within 10 minutes, and that can be chased up. So that can be done outside of the lesson rather than lecturers trying to do that in the lesson.
We have EBS4, which is connected to MIS, exams, everything. And I suppose we have the same problem as you, but at the end of the day, it's supposed to be the administrators, but it's when the teacher gets there, because some of us will stay in the classroom if you've got back-to-back lessons.
It's not too bad. I mean, what we try and say is it's not expensive. I mean, how we price it is £150 per classroom, including the card reader. So that's the model.
£150.
Yeah, for the client license and the card reader, which is very low cost, but obviously you've got lots of classrooms to cover. So that's the basic model of funding, of the costing. But the system, actually, in nearly every case, has no cost. Because depending on how much cost you associate with a student, you know, how much is that student worth to you each year, if it saves 2, 3, 4 students from dropping out, it's covered its cost.
I mean, for us as an institution, obviously retention has hit us really, really, really hard. Particularly for my area, I'm in business, and business and accounts have seen a really, really massive dent in the retention.
Okay.
I mean, to have only 11 students, they've been there all year. In an AAT accounting student at UCL 30. We've got about 5 classes for AAT, and then for the business, the level 3. The implication on that is the EMA and the ALG no longer being there. The bursary being so hard for them to obtain.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. So, you know, I see this as a good way forward, but at this point in time, we wouldn't be able to pick it. I can't see them picking that up until the year after.
We realise that, you know, colleges get budgets once a year and things like that. So we can always work something around that problem.
Unless we do it as a pilot.
Now you're talking.
Yeah,
we
do it as a pilot.
We started ours as a pilot. We started off doing one floor as the system was being developed. That was last year. We did one floor, saw how that went. The staff on that floor got used to it, and then it was September that we rolled it across college-wide. Mm-hmm. In between doing the pilot and rolling it out, we got merged with another college because I was originally Orpington and they merged with Bromley. But that's how we started it. So if you could, what I would suggest is if you're going to do a pilot, I would choose people that are more IT literate. Your staff for like, I mean, business staff will probably be fine, computing staff, people that have a bit more of an idea about computing than, say, some of the others, because they're more likely to understand it, and they'll also be more likely to be able to help feeding back any issues in a way that we'll be able to get them resolved rather than just the standard it doesn't work. So but definitely a pilot is a good way to go forward.
Yeah, just to add, we did the same sort of introduce different parts of the system as time went on. Tony's right, it does save money in the long run, and if you can retain students, you retain in funding.
That's our major concern for us.
We would, obviously did a floor, we would probably target areas of teams that, I don't know, whose registers aren't as accurate as they should be, perhaps, because that's where you can have most impact. We spend a lot of time, or have done in the past, chasing registers, students to say, we're here, and they've been marked absent, all this sort of thing, and it's just relieves, you know, you just get rid of that, eliminates all of that completely. Okay. So you also, that's the time when you're saving. Obviously, you're saving 5 minutes for the teacher time, but it's all that support, the admin, that you know, you're saving. You're working smarter, you're not having to chase registers and going back over and that sort of thing. So it pays for itself.
I've got one more question.
Go for it. I'm glad you were paying attention.
You talk about dynamic register, how having that display doesn't have that have impact on the data protection, because we were told by Ofsted that if you show a display of the learners' details, etc., then it is automatically unsatisfactory grade for your teacher. So how have you got around that? Because I've just seen you display it myself. You too.
Probably best answered here.
Turn the projector off before you take the register, or freeze it on something. You don't have to show.
Oh, it's not compulsory, because when he was showing the slides, it actually showed them, the learners, their features up on the screen, and I was wondering.
But that would only be for
you. It's only their faces.
Their faces
and their photograph. You're not showing any data. There's no date of birth, there's no. It's just the faces of the students that are in the parks at that time.
Okay. Yeah.
And that's the data. You need to protect data in the sense that if you could see patterns of attendance or something like that, but just seeing faces of people that are in the room anyway. Yeah, because a student in the room could look around anyway and see who else is in the room. Mm-hmm. So from that point of view, I don't think it's a data protection issue.
Yeah, or anybody could walk in that room and see who's in that room. There's no.
I've got one more question. I forgot.
They've all been good ones.
It'll come back. It'll come back.
Are parents able to access? Because we have we've not just got on board the parent portal. So are they able to access the attendance or?
Our product would only go back to your MIS, and then from there, it's your MIS.
We have just introduced a parent portal. We just showed a bare minimum attendance marks overall, so they wouldn't. They'd have an idea like 90% attendance, 70%, but they wouldn't. We wouldn't actually show them individual register marks.
Okay.
So they couldn't then have a go at their child saying, you know, you weren't here Monday morning or. Yeah. So it's just an overall picture. So yeah. It's probably less than the schools. Mm-hmm. Basically, we just showed them exactly what we'd send home in a report.
In a report.
Yeah.
But with the advancement being linked to MIS, if any of your systems do show more information or whatever arrangements you've got for the data in MIS, that's also available. This was when we took the system, we were clear that it had to write back to Unity, which is our student record system, because we'd already invested time and money in attendance reporting, and we didn't want to have to then redesign that to work off a separate database. So from our point of view, it had to write back to MIS, and that means that not only does all of the old reporting that we've put in, all of the attendance and reporting that have been developed over time, but it also means that other admin areas can still use the tools that they're used to. So how they would make changes to the register marks feeds back into Event Marker. So if someone is, like you were saying, phoned in and said that they weren't going to be there, someone can, in Student Services, can block mark the registers with, we use an N for a notified absence. And then when they bring up that register on eMarker, that will already be recorded that they've got an N, so that they know that they're not expecting that student. So it's because it links so integrates so tightly into the student record system, from the staff point of view, they didn't have to learn anything new to be able to continue to administer the registers as they had been.
Well, can I ask you both then, what was the reaction of your teaching staff when you brought it in? How do they, A, first receive it, and B, get on with it later on?
Nobody likes change, and that's the same with teachers in classrooms at FE. There's a wide gap in IT skills between some teachers and others. Even now, some are probably more reluctant to use it than others. With the merger, we had the Alberton staff who were used to e-registers already in a different form, whereas on the Bromley side, they were still filling out paper registers, which were sent off somewhere else, and someone else was inputting them at the time. So there was quite a big change from that point of view. Some teachers really do like it and use it as a tool to monitor their students, as you've seen. The students know that as soon as they've realised that they're not in the lesson, they'll go and get someone to chase them up. Others use it more passively, but the overall feeling is that it is a good system, it is better, and it is doing what it was meant to do with regards to giving that time back to the lecturers. And I think that's only going to get better as they get more used to it in the merged environment that we're now in.
And how is it an SGM, Mike?
We since I've been there, we've always had electronic registers. We moved to Compass system a few years back and then obviously incorporated Event Marker into that. So our staff have been used to electronic registration. It's still a pain. You know, if you ask a teacher, marking registers is always a pain. If you can get students to mark themselves in, that goes away. So anything that makes their job easier, they're on board.
I thought of your question.
Yeah.
Well, the one that it was a really good one.
I can't remember now.
It's just about the presentation before you. You said the protocol, the students' faces, and then it says how many was in, and then those who were in grey weren't there, and then there was more students in than. How does that work? Where the students will pass?
They all start off as grey. They're all grey at the start.
Yes, okay.
And as they swipe, they actually go to full colour, and they get a
a little banner underneath their photo, which is green if they're early or present, and yellow if they're late. But you can pick those colours.
And they might arrive with their friend's card and swipe their friend in.
Yes. That's
and you sit down and you think, I've got 15 faces yeah. and 14 people. Yeah. Obviously, you need numerate staff to work that out. and they're all numerate, clearly. And you'll go, well, that person's not there, and you can change the mark.
Right, and then
sort of
how did the other person get into the
boat? Well, no, you've got one student with two cars. He or she is swiping in their friend.
Yeah.
So that's what you're reversing.
So the other friend comes.
How does well, they're not coming. They haven't got a car. They're not coming. They're off doing something else.
And what did they do? How did they get in?
Well, they'd have, they say they've lost their car. They arrived. Oh, yeah. I don't know whether I can ask a question of Laura, who I spoke to earlier on today. You travel the country talking to colleges and providing advice. What have you heard today that you think might be useful to those that you've talked to? What might excite you about this? Sorry, yes.
I think there's a lot of things. I think it goes back to this giving teachers time back, so that reduction in admin. Is quite a useful thing. I think it's the data you can get from it, so that reliability of your registers, that instant information, being able to track students, retention rates as well. I think you can see a lot of benefits to it and how it can add things to the organisation. It'd be quite useful to hear actually how what the students thought of it when you brought it into to the colleges. Whether they've enjoyed it and whether it's how well they've used it, I suppose.
Well, in question time style, we have 2 minutes left, so 1 minute each on how the students found it. Thank you, Laura.
Cheers. I think it's like anything. Students, being younger, it's a new toy, it's a new gadget. I think they enjoyed the whole idea of it. The best way to use it is there's audible tones, so when you swipe. You get a different tone depending on whether or not you swipe too quickly. The card is registered, but you're not supposed to be in that room, or if you get the right one. So if you watch them, they've got used to it. They just do it automatically now. The teachers don't even have to say anything. They just parade in, show their cards to the reader, and they get on, and they understand that that's what marks their register. So those that are still on EMA from last year know that they're going to get it, and those that are on bursary know they're going to get it as well, and it also means that they know that if they hear that sound, they're in the lesson, they've got their register mark, and they're not going to be chased for a non-attendance.
Yeah, I think you're right. Students just naturally soak up technology. I'm sure they can't wait for the forget the card, just use my phone to touch in. So it's not, but I think it's convincing staff rather than students.
Well, thanks very much indeed, and thanks to those who are watching, if not at home, at their colleges. Thank you for the questions you've asked. Thank Ian and Mike for the answers they've given. And please talk to us again if we give you more information. Appreciate your time. Thanks very much indeed.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from policyreview.tv. For more details, go to www.policyreview.tv. Please note that this audio is subject to copyright and cannot be used by other broadcasters or for commercial gain.